Isaiah chapter 6, I'll start reading in verse 1. It says, "In the year of King Uzziah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with his tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of the people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. I'm going to stop my reading right there tonight. I guess if I had a thought tonight, it would be simply in the presence of God. We look here in this reading and we can see a description through Isaiah's vision of our Lord and in His glory and angels that He had created. Angels that were created, that were holy, that were without sin. And as they circled above the throne where our Lord was sitting, they took two of their wings and they covered their eyes. They took two of the wings and they covered their feet. And it says, well, the other two, they flew. As they circled around that throne, singing, Holy, holy, holy. As we think about that tonight, I just want us all to try in our minds, and I know it's an impossible task. I've thought of this particular subject many, many times and studied about it many, many times. And I don't know that we can grasp in our finite minds just exactly what those angels see there. But I want for a time for us to just consider and think about the holiness of God. I want us to think about tonight. I was thinking about just exactly what might cause a person to. We speak a lot of times about being convicted of the Spirit. You mentioned this morning or today when you stood prior to me about that conviction. And as I was thinking about that today and thinking about how the Lord deals with us and how when these angels here were saying, holy, 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 And they were in the very presence of God. How God is revealed to us. The Bible tells us that it's revealed through His Word. I believe that each one of us have an ability in our mind, a limited to our own capabilities, and God knows that, of just how we're enabled to portray God in our own mind and to see God in our own mind. And I believe that the first part of conviction, or the first part of coming into the condition to be saved, is a knowledge of an almighty and all holy, holy, holy and righteous God that's before them, that sits upon the throne, that is looking down upon each and every one of us in our lives, and it is looking down into the hearts of each man. I believe it's that knowledge and that understanding alone, of knowing that there is a higher power above, that there is a holy God above that is looking down upon us in our lives, that makes us think and it makes us wonder. It reveals to us the sinner that we are. It reveals the sin in our life, because it's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I believe it just like you do, Brother Swindle. I believe without the work of the Holy Spirit that there's nobody going to be saved. I believe that the Holy Spirit of God has to convict and convince us that we are sinners before God. But I believe that as we think about this, and you know, I was thinking about this evening. You know, these angels that were created by God and for God, for His honor and glory and for His service. You know, you and I that have been brought into this world today, we was brought into this world in sin. But whether we know it or not, we were brought into this world to give God honor and glory. We were all brought into this world to lift up the Lord and to give Him honor and glory. And I believe it's a part of the sanctification that after we've been saved by God, that we truly, each and every time that I stand, it seems I know less about God sometimes. It seems like that when I see God, that He gets holier and He gets bigger and He gets brighter. And I think that's the way it's supposed to be. There was a point when I was a boy and I was lost, and I knew I was lost. And I knew that I had to turn to God. I had been told, and I'd heard a preacher preach about Jesus, that He was the one that I needed to turn to, that He was perfect, and that He died for my sins. And I knew that somewhat in my mind. It was a knowledge that I had to have, and an understanding that I had to have in my mind. It was a holy and righteous God that walked here on this earth, that all might believe, that all might have faith, that all might come to repentance and be saved. Think about this in this particular thing. You got Isaiah here and in this vision, and I believe that we see the Lord in our heart and in our mind when the Lord convicts us. I believe in this vision we see this, and just like He says in the fifth verse, we come to the understanding that we are undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. There's a realization that comes to each and every one of us when we're a sinner. When we're come to the point that we're lost, that we need to see God if we're going to be saved. Those that have been heard the truth, you know, there's a lot of people in the world that hadn't ever heard the truth. You know, you see things on TV all the time. You see about all these different countries and these people that live out in the middle of nowhere, and you know, there's nobody that preached to them or spoke to them, you know, and they pray to gods, though. There's something about the people that God created on this earth, that something within them allows them to know that there is a higher power. whether they've been preached to out of a missionary Baptist church or any other. There's a realization that comes upon everybody that there is a higher power. I believe it takes the truth of God's Word to bring that further on in to the point to that to what they should do and to how they should do and to how they're supposed to react and what they're supposed to do. I believe it comes from the truth of God's Word, but it all boils down to a beginning point that there is a higher power, that there is a God that we serve that is holy, holy, holy. I believe that if God's people in their worship and in their study and their day-to-day life would come to the realization that we are serving a God that is holy, 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 that it would make us have better lives. It would cause us to reflect upon ourselves, upon the sins that we see, upon the sins that we live in our lives. It would cause us to reflect upon that if we would just for a moment each day remember that we are serving a holy, holy, holy God. Strong's Concordance gives the definition of holy as a sacred place or a thing, consecrated, dedicated, hallowed. And as I've been trying to study through this and think about these thoughts, you know, it's something that, well, you just can't put your finger on, can you? I can't. Maybe you can. Maybe you are better at understanding just exactly holy, what holy is and what it consists of. But there's one thing I do know. All of us have been saved by God's grace. One of these days when we receive our glorified bodies that has no sin and we are around the throne and Jesus is the light and we are all there with Him, we're going to understand what holy really is. We're going to understand it. We're going to feel it. We're going to rejoice in it for eternity. But until that point, we're striving for that. We're striving and we're working towards that. And as we, I believe, just like Isaiah and his vision here, the holiness of God was revealed to him and he was humbled, wasn't he? You know, you think about, I was looking and I think that the word holy is mentioned in the Bible about 554 times when I was looking. It's just all throughout the Bible. And it gives a lot of different descriptions and a lot of different things. There's a lot of things that is involved with the understanding or the knowledge of a holy God. One of the things that is brought out is humility. One of the things that's brought out is fear. There's repentance. There's faith. There's all different aspects of it that can be brought out of just that word holiness. And it's not, it's something that has to happen within us. It's something that has to happen within us. You can turn back and I was reading through here and in the book of Exodus, and I was thinking about some of the things that went on about, I guess, the time when the first was over in the third chapter of the book of Exodus, where we think about where Moses was walking through the desert. And it says here in the third chapter, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame and a fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him. And out of the midst of the bush, he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for this place whereon thou standest is holy ground. We find out here that the presence of God pointed out holiness. Now those angels that was there circling around, they was in the presence of God. And there was holiness that was all they could think about, was just how holy God was. Moses, as he was looking at here, and God told him to put the shoes off thy feet, for this is holy ground. God was speaking to him out of that bush, and it was holy. That burning bush was holy. It was an object of holiness given to Moses by God. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. See, it brings about fear. Holiness of God brings about fear. We don't have the fear for God in our lives anymore like we should. We don't have the fear for God in our services, in anything that we do anymore. We don't have that fear. I know when I stand up here, there is a fear in me because I don't want to say something wrong or do something wrong or do something that will hinder or harm in any way anybody that might be lost or anybody that might be saved. I want to make sure that I try to do that, and I know I need the Lord's help. When we as God's people think that we can do however we want to do and whenever we want to do it, and we do it without fear and favor to God, then we're barking up the wrong tree. We have to be careful. We will tear down and destroy more than we can ever build up. In the 21st chapter of the book of Exodus here, we see where, as this is after God's people had been released from bondage out of Egypt, and Moses was carrying them, and he was on the Mount Sinai, and he was, the Lord was giving him commandment and directions out of what he wanted them to know and what he wanted them to do and how he wanted them to act. In this 19th chapter, it says in the 12th verse, and it says, "And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed unto yourselves that ye go not up into the mount, nor touch the border of it. Whosoever shall touch the mount shall surely be put to death. And there shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be a beast or a man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount." And Moses went down from the mountain unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, "Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives." And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeded loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. See, there was something about the presence of God. Now, God was on top of that mountain. And we can read on over here, and we can find that in the 20th chapter and 18th verse, it says, "All the people saw thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood far off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, that we will hear." They wanted to know. They wanted to know what they could do, how they could do it, because they were afraid. They were in the presence of holiness and righteousness of the Almighty God that had lit down before them on top of that mountain in that flame and that smoke and that trembling. God had appeared to them. He manifest Himself in the power and the majesty. That's one of the things that you could also say about holiness. There's deity, there's power, there's majesty. Spoke about in this Isaiah about his long train that was lifted, that was around the temple. They said unto Moses, "Speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak unto us, lest we die." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." He wants people to know that he's in control. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator of the heavens and the earth and the firmament and the stars, everything around it. He is in control. And many times we take that for granted. God is in control. And when we realize that, and it just goes right along to prove His holiness of who He is, of who God is. The people stood afar off, and Moses drew near into the thick darkness where God was. God was speaking to Moses, and he was telling his people. He was directing his people, telling them. And Moses told them, "It's all right to be afraid. The Lord wants to prove you. The Lord just wants to prove you. He just wants you to do right." He laid down the law. He gave them the commandments. You think about the ark that was, when you think about the seraphims, you think about the ark of the covenant where the Lord was at in the holiest of holies in the temple. Those seraphims those golden angels was set on each side. Just like that was in this and was described in this vision of Isaiah, and as they sat on that ark where the Lord stayed in the holiest of holies, that place where the high priest would go in once a year, and the Bible says not without blood to atone for the sins from all the people that would come in. That ark of the covenant there said when they'd walk in that it was, that the room would be filled with smoke. That it would be filled with smoke. And that high priest would go in and he would sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. And we think about, as we go today, in from Old Testament to New Testament, we think about how that God is still in charge. He still loves us. He's still proving us today. He's still wanting us to do what we're supposed to do. He's still wanting to bless. He's just like those people of Israel when He led them out of bondage. He wanted to take them under His wing and He wanted to just bless them and they turned against Him. He's still wanting to do that today. So many people have turned against Him. So many people are suffering because of families and heartaches and sorrows because they've turned away from God. I believe anybody that wanted to read history of what it's like to turn away from God, the repercussions from it, all they got to do is read through some of these Old Testament stories in here and see how God dealt with a people that was His people. Those were His people that He dealt with like that, that turned away from Him. As we think about all these things, I was trying to think about all the mercy seat and that lid that was on top of the Ark of Covenant that held the two tablets that Moses brought down off of that mountain. It laid out the law, the manna, in the golden pot that where God had fed His people and provided for them as they went through that wilderness and that Aaron's rod that had budded. All those things represented that people could see and understand that. I believe that. I don't know. I was thinking about that rod and this afternoon, and I was thinking about, you know, that dead rod that he caused to bud, I believe that that was represented something that you were dead in sins and trespasses, but you can be made alive. I believe there was a lot of representations in that Old Testament, and there was a lot of different things, and I know some of these brothers here that's been preaching far more qualified to preach about it than me. But as some of these things, that's just how I see some of these things in here, and you know, over in the book of Psalms, it speaks about serving the Lord with fear and rejoice and trembling. I believe that's part of the way that we serve God, that we serve Him in fear, or we should, and we should rejoice. You know, we rejoiced greatly the other night. We had a house full of people here, and they came in and they sang and they lifted their voices up to God, and it was just a glorious sound. And I believe, you know, I think about that incense that smoke that went up into heaven. I believe that through all the prayers and through all the songs, and I believe it was just a holy incense that was going up to God, and God looked down and He blessed our service. You think about so many different situations and things. I guess we could look, and as far as fear is concerned, you can, and being humbled, you think about the 116th chapter of the book of Psalm, or where David was telling how the Lord was dealing with him. It says, "I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and heard my supplication, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow." The presence of a holy God brought trouble and sorrow upon him. It humbled him. It brought fear upon him. The understanding of what was going to happen to him enabled him to know and understand these things. It says, and he called upon him. We need direction today, and those that are lost, if there's any here tonight and lost, I don't know if there is, but if you're here tonight and lost, just as David here, you need to call upon the Lord. You need to understand that you serve a great God, a holy and righteous God, that over in the book of Romans, it said in the book, in the third chapter, that it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you. That's us. All of us that have been born into this world, that's been born into the sin of Adam, we were born into this world sinners. And we need to realize and know and understand that if we're ever going to be saved by God's grace, that if we're ever going to enter into that holy place that was described here by Isaiah in his vision, if we're ever going to enter into that throne where the seraphims are circling around the throne of God and singing, "Holy, holy, holy," if we're ever going to make it to that place, that you got to understand that you're serving a holy God, that you're a sinner before Him, and that you must be humbled, that you must have fear in your heart and know and understand that this is all part of the conviction and understanding that knowing that you're a sinner and separated before God. Every bit of that, it all has to do with the understanding of God being holy. Bringing us down to the place. It says, then I called upon the name of the Lord. Lord, O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our Lord is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and He helped me. I was brought low when I come to the understanding that I was a sinner. I was brought low. I was humbled. I come to the point when I was seeking God that I knew that there was nothing in the world that I could do. There was nothing that the preacher could do. There was nothing my mama, my daddy, or any of the deacons or any of the people in that church where I was praying. I come to that understanding and I got humbled that God was the only one and that He was holy and righteous and He was perfect and that He had to save my soul. I had to trust in Him. I had to trust in Jesus that died on the sin, died for my sins, that died on the cross. I had to trust in Him. It's a humbling thing to know that we can't do something ourselves. It's a very humbling thing. I don't care if you're young or if you're old. It's a humbling thought and a humbling thing. The Bible speaks of the revealing aspect of just exactly what God wants us to see and feel and know. He speaks to us and through His Spirit. Over in the 16th chapter of the book of John, Jesus speaking says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." God's holiness is going to reprove you. It's going to reprove you of your sin. It's going to convict you that you are a sinner. Just like the preacher said earlier. It's going to convict and convince you that you're a sinner. And that's the only way that you can be saved. If you turn away from that drawing or from that drawing power or if you choose in your own mind to not ever consider the holiness and the righteousness of God and to seek Him, then you'll die and go to a devil's hell. See, those angels that were flying around up there around that throne, those were the ones that was left up in heaven. There were some that were cast out. The Lord said He prepared a place for them. That place was called hell. He prepared a place for all those angels that were cast out of heaven. That's for all those that choose not to humble themselves to the revealing presence of God when He comes upon you and allows you the blessed opportunity to know that you're a sinner. And it is a blessed opportunity to know that you're a sinner because you can at that point know that you can bow and turn to Jesus that you might be saved, that you might be able to trust in Him and repent of your sins that you might be saved. Without that drawing, without that conviction, Lord help you. Jesus is our covering. He is our mercy seat. He is the only way. He shed His blood once for the sins of this world. Those high priests went into that holies of holies year after year, never taking away sin. Jesus died on the cross one time. One time. He shed His blood. That you might trust in Him. That you might believe in Him. That tonight that the holiness of God might be revealed in your heart. And that the sinfulness in your heart would be revealed also to the point that you bow down and that you seek that holy God. That's the only way. That's the only way that you'll ever be saved. You have to turn to a holy and righteous God. I pray tonight, take this opportunity, take this time. Seek God that you might be found. Seek Him tonight. Brother Burke, could we get a song? Let's have an invitation. If there's anybody here and lost tonight, I asked that you would just understand some of the things I've said tonight.